morning, and greetings in Christ's precious name. I enjoyed the service, the Sunday school, the discussion, and I enjoy hearing people's thoughts and sometimes different ideas on a verse or whatever.
This morning I have something that it's been on my mind for quite a while, and I intend to have two sermons on this. I'm not sure my next one probably within a couple of weeks or my next, but something I believe the Lord laid on my heart for some things He wanted to show me, and I felt led to share in a message, and I've titled it "The Bait of Satan," and we'll look at the title a little bit later on. But can turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 1. It's Christ speaking here. He says unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." You don't have to travel very far in life to observe the effects of one of the devils, I believe, and I say one of them, I'm not saying it's the one or the only, but one of the devil's most deadly and deceptive traps, I believe. Many leaders cannot function properly because in their callings, because of wounds in their lives, because of things that have hurt them, maybe fathers aren't leading out in their homes because of past hurts. Maybe mothers aren't fulfilling the calling they have in the home because of offense. Teachers cannot teach because of an offense. Youth leave churches, leave brotherhoods because of offense. And it's sad, but I believe if we were all honest here today, we all have been offended. It's not that we can look down and we can see a specific one here that's been offended. If we're honest, we all look back. Somewhere in the past, we've all been offended. I'm sure of it. I know that. Because Jesus said right there that it's impossible, but offenses will come. Let's turn to Psalms 55 quickly. I want to look at a verse. And the interesting part about offenses is where they come from. Psalm 55, verses 12 and through 14. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him." In other words, it was not someone that I expected it from. Verse 13, "But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." In other words, I believe it's people just like us right here that cause the most serious offenses to each other. You will often find the greatest hatred among people that once loved each other. Attorneys, if you look at law, but this is not a point of my own, but they said that attorneys tell us that the most vicious cases are often divorce cases. American media is constantly reporting some type of murder in a home by a desperate family member. The home is meant to be a shelter, a haven, protection, place to grow, where we learn to give, to receive love. But it's often the root of pain. And why? Because that person out there that I would expect it from him. But the one that's closest to me, I would not expect that. History shows us the bloodiest wars were the civil wars. Like, you look at the American Civil War, and it was so often father against son, son against father, brother against brother. Driven by, they thought, a cause, and it turned to hatred in their life. And the possibilities for offense are endless. Like any relationship you can think of, there's a possibility for offense there. And the truth remains, only those that are truly close to you can truly hurt you. You expect more from someone that you've given most. And so often, the higher the expectation, the greater the fall. And I look at those verses there in Psalms, and it just, you know, it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. You know, we think of, even as leaders, as many leaders have offended. Many fathers have offended. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Why is it? Why are so many people hurt? I believe one of the first points is selfishness. And selfishness reigns in our society. And we tend to look out and we say, people are selfish. But I want us to look in today and look at our own lives, because, you know, if we look at this as offense, as it's always someone else, that usually means that I've been offended and I'm not willing to deal with it in my life. But selfishness does reign in our society. We live in a selfish world. Men and women look out strictly for themselves, very often the neglect and hurt of others around them, and they don't even realize it quite often. 2 Timothy 3 says we shouldn't be surprised about this. He talks about it. He basically says it's going to happen. That's in, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 3. And, you know, we should maybe, let's start at verse 1. This know also on the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We'll just stop there. And you know, we read these verses, we say, that's out there. That's the people that aren't here. I believe he was talking to the church here today. And if we look at those points, and I see any of that in my life, he's talking to me there. We often want to put these things outside. We don't want to talk about them, but think about them. Am I a cause for offense today? Am I leading my brother to be offended? But the Bible makes it clear, in the end times, men will be lovers of themselves. And I believe it creeps into the church. It creeps into my own life so quickly, so slyly. And because of this, many are hurt. Many are truly offended. And many do not even realize they have fallen into Satan's trap. Most believers are shocked when that happens. Most of us are shocked when a brother does something that I believe I have a cause for offense here. But why? Jesus made it clear here that this would happen. And so often we believe we are the ones. We're the only ones who were ever wrong like this. And this response often, I believe, leaves us vulnerable to a root of bitterness. And I believe we need to prepare ourselves. We need to arm ourselves for that, because our response determines our future in these cases. And then we come to the point that I want to bring out. If you look at back to Luke 17 there where we started, verse 1. That word offense is there. I'm going to just write it down. I don't know if you could all read that, but the Greek word for this word here is scandalon, is how I believe you say it. And it is a part of the trap that the bait is attached to. And thus the title, The Bait of Satan. But I believe so many of us Christians often are trapped by offense. We cannot do what God has brought into our lives. We cannot lead sometimes in our homes, in our churches, in our Sunday schools, in our schools, because we've been offended. And I think about that. If we had a little mouse, I thought about bringing it, but a mouse trap, and you put that little bit of peanut butter on there, and that's what attracts the mouse. And I believe Satan has figured that out quite well, that offense thing. He knows how to trap us. He knows what is going to catch me. He knows what is going to trip me up and make me fall today. The word signifies laying a trap in someone's way. And yes, we don't often mean to offend. But Satan takes that. And we can look at it from both sides today. The one that's been offended or the one that offends. But I want us to think about this, our actions, the things we do. And in the New Testament, every time it talks about, okay, I take that back. There was one time that I found that did not mean it, but most often in the Greek word, offense meant an entrapment used by the devil. Paul instructs Timothy, we're going to look at a lot of verses. And I don't want to apologize for that, because I believe I want the scriptures to speak to us this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, as God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will. Those who are in quarrels or opposition fall into a trap, and they're held prisoner. And when they're held prisoner to offense, they are doing the devil's will. And there are many Christians filling our benches that are offended. And so we ought to say, why can't we see ourselves? Why don't people see themselves? And it's a very simple answer. Most offended people are actually unaware that they're offended. They don't even realize that instead of spewing out pure water, they're spewing out bitter waters. When a person is deceived, he believes he's right. Sometimes he is, but most often he isn't. And there are two types of offended people. There's those that have been treated unjustly. There are those that we would say have the right to be offended. And we could look at examples. Think of Absalom, you know, and I want to talk about that in another sermon. But as you look at his life, like, he knew that his sister had been, her life was destroyed in his mind. And he was offended because his father didn't do anything. David did not come and deal with the perpetrator there. So Absalom said, I will deal with it. And it just bred bitterness in his life. It eventually went to where he tried to take the kingdom from his father, and he actually succeeded because he worked hard at it, and eventually he hung in a tree, and he died a bitter, bitter man. Take the time to read that story. As I read that story, I could feel right with him. I could see it seemed like he had every right to be offended. Then there's those who believe they have been treated unjustly. These people believe it with all their hearts that they have been wronged. They draw conclusions from inaccurate information, or even sometimes their information is correct, but their conclusion is wrong. It's distorted. Either way, they're hurt. Their understanding is darkened. They judge by assumption. They assume things. They assume that he said or did that, she, whoever. They judge by appearance. They judge by hearsay. He said, she said, and it goes down through there. How does the enemy keep us from not seeing ourselves? And I believe it's a very simple answer. It's pride. As I studied it, as I looked into my life and I thought about that, pride keeps you from seeing, it keeps me from seeing myself. That's how the devil keeps us in that offended state. He keeps us there. He traps us I have a right to be offended, and pride traps me. That spring snaps and I'm caught. Pride keeps me from admitting my true condition. It keeps me from admitting that I'm wrong. It keeps me from dealing with truth. It distorts my vision. And you can never change when you think everything is fine, because pride tells me that I'm right. Pride hardens my heart. It dims my eyes to understanding my brother, my sister, my spouse, my friend, my brotherhood. There's only one thing that can deal with pride, and that's repentance. And if we look back in these verses, we're still in 2 Timothy 2 there. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by a man at his will. In other words, we need to repent. We need to recognize pride for what it is. And pride does a lot of things. One thing it always does in offense, pride causes me to view myself as a victim. And you think about that. Very often, as I face things in my home, in my brotherhood, it was me that got hurt. I'm the victim here. I was mistreated. I was misjudged. I'm justified in this behavior. I'm justified to say this about my brother or my sister. I am innocent. I was falsely accused. Therefore, I cannot and will not forgive. Pride hides my true heart condition. And another thing, I want to write down 4 points because I believe this is very important. I want to give credit, I meant to do it when we started, but I listened to something and then a speaker, and then I bought a book that was titled this title. And so I want to give a lot, I learned a lot out of that book. So if you ever read that book or have read it, you will probably pick up things that I say that were taken from that. But proud people do, and there could be other things, but I believe these are 4 points that they will do. They will manipulate others. Because you hurt me, I can be this way. And you can look at any relationship, whether it's in the home, in the church, or wherever it is. Proud people, offended people do this. Because of this, I can permit this in my life. And that to me, it's very sad, but I believe it's very true because I've seen it in my own life. They hide things in their lives. It's proud people tend to hide sin. And there's different ways to look at that, but I believe because of pride, we hide sin. We hide, we cover things. A proud, offended person will inflict guilt on others. And maybe that goes a little bit with the first thing, but I believe that's something that we tend to do. I was offended. I'm going to make that person feel it. They're going to know that I am hurt. They can never rise above it because I won't release them. A proud, offended person evades accountability and responsibility. And I believe that's very true. A proud person tries to never take accountability for his actions. It's always another person. It's always that person's fault that I was offended. It was always him that caused these issues. And I don't want to look on the negative because we can rise above this. And I believe that's why it was laid so strongly in my heart is that I believe our churches are full of offended people. And how do we rise above that? What's the cure? Well, how do we get out of this trap? So offense is the bait. How do I rise above that? Jesus addresses that. If you want to jump into Revelations quickly, chapter 3, he's talking to the church of Laodicea here in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, unto the angel of the church for the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath saith what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus is addressing these people here, and he told them how they saw themselves in there in those first couple of verses. He said, you know, they were rich, they were wealthy, they didn't need nothing. And Jesus said, you realize that. And he said, it's hard to work with you because you have everything, you don't feel like you need me. And yet you say you have me. And Jesus, I believe, exposed their true condition. He exposed their wretchedness, their miserableness, their poor, blinded eyes, if that's how you want to put it. They had a financial strength here, but their spiritual strength was gone. And pride hid their true condition. And I believe today there are many this way. Our things, our possessions, make us less, can I say, accountable to God. We tend to think we are in control. It makes us where we feel we have to work less with our brother. Because I'm offended, I don't need to work with him. I can get along without him anyhow. And because I'm in control, I don't see the condition of my own heart. I don't see that I'm offended. I don't see that I've fallen into this trap. What does Jesus say? I love that verse 18. This is Christ talking. This isn't some preacher or something else. This is Christ. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And this really spoke to me. As you think about that, you know, gold is something the world craves and looks at. But he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And he's not talking wealth here today. But let's think about gold a little bit. And gold is, we tend to think of gold as a hard metal because that's what I always thought it was. But pure gold is soft and pliable. You can take it, you can shape it, you can do things with it. It's when there's other things. It's when it's mixed with metals like copper. I forget all the metals that are often mixed in it. But there's other metals in there that make it hard. It becomes less pliable. It becomes corrosive. It looks ugly after a while. The higher the percentage of metal, the harder the gold becomes. Do you see the parallel between that and the heart? A pure heart is like pure gold this morning. It's soft, it's tender, it's pliable. It feels with my brother or my sister. Hebrews 3:13 says, the heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you do not deal with an offense in your life, it will produce sin. It's going to produce something. It's going to produce anger. It's going to produce bitterness, resentment. But I believe bitterness is one of the most common ones. And I believe, whether we all don't want to admit or not, we've all had to deal with it. If we haven't dealt with it, I believe we haven't taken care of it. Bitterness eats, it consumes. It makes me know that I'm right. This added substance, it hardens my heart. It makes it to where I'm untouched by another brother or sister's suffering or my spouse that's crying out for my love. Bitterness, all of them, anger, resentment, they remove tenderness. They remove sensitivity. They remove that pliable way that God wants my heart to be. We are hindered to even hear God's voice often. We cry out, God, why aren't you speaking to me? And it's because he wants to touch something. He wants to show me something, but because of pride, I don't allow myself. Gold is ground into a powder. When they want to refine gold, they grind it into a very fine powder. And they mix, I'm not sure what it is, something called flux with it. And as they mix it, and then they put it under high extreme heat, very extreme heat. and the flux causes the impurities to rise and the gold settles. And then they can scrape off the surface and the impurities, and they have pure gold. Have you felt God's refining fire? Let's go back into the Old Testament and look at a verse in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And we'll let that thought jump back into the New Testament, into 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Both of those verses that we looked at there talk about God choosing us, God trying us. God refines us with affliction, with trials, with tribulations, however you want to word it. The heat of life that we talk about sometimes, it separates those impurities. It takes away that unforgiveness, that strife between me and my whoever, that bitterness, anger, resentment. Today, if you're struggling, name it. Bring it to God. Cry out to Him to remove it. You know, I find it, to me, it's such a beautiful picture to think of someone taking that hard gold and grinding it, heating it, and it's soft and pliable, the pure gold. And to me, that's such a picture of my heart. When I allow God to take it, to grind it, to shape it the way He wants it. Sin easily hides where there's no heat of trial, I believe. When I put myself in a position where God cannot work, I can hide sin easier. But when I truly ask God and allow Him to work in my life, to put me under heat, to grind me, those impurities surface and it's no longer hidden. Because often people are so blinded by pride and resentment and bitterness, they don't even realize that they're living in offense. Jump back into Revelations. Jesus said how to one thing we can do there in Revelations 3, verse 18. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold trying the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. On our own, we cannot see ourselves correctly when we're offended. When we're proud, we cannot see ourselves. We justify why we're bitter, why we have every right to not forgive that brother or sister. We have every right to be angry with my father or my mother. We have a right to maybe envy my brother for something sometimes. And we have every right to resent. And you know, I was thinking about this. I think sometimes in this state of mind, a person even resents someone that reminds us of someone else. Have you ever had that? Think about that. We need to see our true condition this morning. We can look around, we can see everyone else, but let's look at ourselves. You can only repent when you stop blaming others. You cannot repent and still say, that brother owes me something. That sister owes me an apology. You didn't repent. If you're going to live in repentance, you're going to totally release that brother or sister, my spouse, whoever it is. Bible talks about, you know, trying to remove that speck in my brother's eye when I have a beam in my own eye. And you think about that. When we blame others, defend ourselves or our position, we're blinded. But I believe when the Spirit of God shows our sin, He does it in a way that seems separate from us, because I believe that brings conviction, not condemnation. God shows this is not part of you. This is something you need to remove. I believe I'm going to bring it to a close here. This morning, I want us to go home here, and I want us to think about this. Has Satan trapped me? Has Satan put you to where you feel trapped? Realize that trapping is usually pride in my life that holds me, and it has chains around me. Don't let pride keep you from seeing yourself. Repent today. The Bible does say you will encounter offense. You're going to encounter things that aren't right. People will do things that actually aren't right against you. But you get to choose how you will react. Let God's word enlighten your heart. Take it. Put it against your heart. Is my heart soft and pliable as I read His word? Does it move me? Does it shape me? If it doesn't, maybe I need to ask God to do a little grinding, do a little heating. If I feel offended, ask God to deliver you. Even if you know that you have every right to be offended, ask God to deliver you, because you are not living in forgiveness. And living in unforgiveness is a sad way to go through life. And I say it again, but there are so many that are going through life bitter. They're so wrapped up with something that happened in the past. Someone hurt them. And I believe in my own life, the Lord showed me so many things that I've allowed to bother me. So many things that they weren't always right. And so many things that I thought or I surmised, whatever it is. Repent. Jesus is the cure. Ask Him to make your heart pliable, make it soft. In a couple weeks, I want to have another sermon. I will look at, and maybe go and read that story of Absalom, David and Absalom, and think about that, what we heard this morning, and also what offense caused him to do. This morning, I'm just blessed to be part of a church that I believe is striving to live above that. And let's allow Jesus to take us, to shape us, to make us a brotherhood. Take our homes, make them beautiful. And where there's offense, remove the pride and allow healing. May the Lord bless each one of you. We'll have a song. We'll ask Brother Jess to close.